It's great to see so many people here. We welcome all of you. This is the City Council meeting for the City of South Jordan. Today is Tuesday, September 16th, 2025. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I have the privilege of serving as Mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding City Council seated up here next to me. We appreciate our so many members of our administrative staff that are here, all those who work so hard, and these folks represent some of the best people there are. A lot of them aren't here, and we just appreciate them. And we welcome all of you, visitors, those presenting, our residents who are here now or who may watch this later. Thank you for being here and being part of this meeting. We're going to open the meeting tonight with a prayer by Sago Church lead pastor Chris Bechtel, right here.
Awesome. Definitely honored to be here and feel blessed to be in the city of South Jordan. Our church is in Daybreak, so just being underneath Mayor's leadership, just blessed by all that's happening and filled with support from many people that are here today. So I wanted to start by just reading a quick scripture and then I'll pray. But the scripture is from the Bible, from 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says this: I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. And I think that that scripture frames out what I'm about to pray about, is that you guys and ladies, you need prayer. And especially with in light of all that's happening in our nation and what's happened in Utah, we need God to lead us. We need his wisdom. We need his direction in all that we do. And so I'm going to pray that God's leadership and his wisdom would rest upon you. And I'm behind you as a pastor, as a leader in the community. I cheer all of you on as you forge ahead and make good things happen for our city. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you choose people to carry out your goodwill. And God, you work through us, broken people, fallible people. But Lord, I thank you for the leaders that you've placed into position of leadership in South Jordan. Lord, I thank you that they are hardworking, that they're dedicated, that they have a love for not only the city, but the people of the city. And Lord, I pray that as they lead, that God, your wisdom would rest upon them. God, we pray that it would be supernatural wisdom, God, not just man's wisdom, but your wisdom from heaven. And God, especially in these times that feel very critical, very intense, very sensitive, Lord, I pray that the mind of Christ would be upon them, that God, they can lead with a knowledge and an understanding of what needs to happen. And Father God, I pray that as they do that, God, may there be a peace upon them and a peace upon the city and the people that they lead. So once again, God, we pray a blessing upon these amazing leaders. We pray that you lead us in this meeting, even right now, as we talk and converse and plan for the future. Lord, I pray that you would just let your wisdom rest upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Pastor, thank you so much. As always, anyone who might ever be interested in offering an invocation or a thought or some kind of opening for our meeting is invited to contact our city recorder, and we'd love to have you come. So thank you. Thank you so much. All right. We have our Pledge of Allegiance tonight, and we are privileged to have our communications manager and PIO, Rachel Van Cleve, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please rise as we say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may take a seat.
Okay, I'm going to take just a second for personal privilege and tell you that I just had a remarkable opportunity to take a trip I never thought I'd get to take. But I went on a personal little tour with my husband, a little vacation, a little tour to China. And I just got back last night. And we had a remarkable time, and it's a beautiful nation, and we met some lovely people. But I have never been so grateful to say the Pledge of Allegiance as I was just now. I can't even tell you how grateful I am for how blessed we are to live in this nation. We're not broken. And this nation is worth fighting for. The freedoms that we enjoy are worth the sacrifice it takes to protect them. So Thank you for that. I did not expect that, but it overwhelms me. Being gone and spending time in a place very, very different from here was a powerful reminder. So thank you for that personal privilege. Wow. Thank you. That's why I'm dressed in red tonight, too. I would have worn a flag pin, but it was a little too heavy for this collar. So grateful to be here and grateful for that flag and everything she represents. Thank you, Rachel, for leading that. All right. We're going to have our mayor and council reports. This is where we just take a quick minute and like to share some of the things that we've been working on behalf of the city over the last couple of weeks since we've met. We just like to try to be transparent and just let you know some of the things we're working on. We'll make it quick, but this is something that we think is important. So is there anyone that would like to go first?
Oh, I'll go first, please. The mosquito abatement, I reported a couple months ago that they're going to do a tax increase. They've done their due diligence and have, you know, sent it to the county to have them look at it. And I have some really good news that instead of 99 cents per average household, it's now going to be 77 cents increase per the average homeowner. And I can't remember what it'll be for an average business, but that also has lowered.
Great. Thanks for lowering that. That's good.
Thank you. I thought that was good information for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can go next, Mayor.
Thank you.
Since our last meeting, I attended the Get to the River event, which was great down at the Jordan River to encourage people to use the Jordan River. The Arts Council sponsored a tie-dye t-shirt activity, which was great as I pulled into the parking lot, just seeing these kids with bright, smiley faces carrying their newly created tie-dye shirt. It was just fun to see. And I just want to say, like, kudos to our staff, to Brad, for making the fishing pond still happen, that our current fishing ponds, there's construction down around 114th South that made it so we couldn't use those ponds, and so they were able to use one of the ponds at the Mulligan's golf course. And yeah, that was just great to see the families there fishing and keeping that going. So thank you for your creativity on making that happen. Presented at the senior art show, encourage everyone to stop by the community center throughout the rest of this month and see the fabulous artwork that our seniors have put together. It's some truly amazing talent that our seniors have. Met with the Arts Council, and there's a play coming up in November. It's Forever Plaid. They have their practices going on that, and that's going well. And then hopefully, maybe next month, I'll be able to announce. We've settled on two shows for next year, both very popular shows, and look forward to being able to announce that soon. And then we had our Legislative Policy Committee meeting, which Councilwoman Johnson and Councilmember Shelton were also present for. And a lot of talks going on of changes the legislature would like to see. Some of it could limit the city's land use authority, put caps on revenues for taxing entities. So I just encourage everyone here that as we advance to the legislative session, make sure you're paying attention and aware of changes they're talking about making at the state level, because all that trickles down to the local level and what we're able to do and provide as a city. And that's everything, Mayor.
Thank you.
Yep, Mayor, I've been traveling throughout the Midwest, and so all my interactions over the past couple of weeks have been remote with our city staff, with the residents of the city. We're able to still able to work remotely and be able to get things done. I'll have nothing specific to report back today.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Would you like to go?
Sure. I would just like to give a good shout out to, again, your point that we live in such a great area, the state of Utah. To Mr. Harris's point, we are so blessed abundantly with so many things here. My husband and I have spent a lot of time on the trails recently in Bountiful, American Fork Canyon, and again, in the Butterfield Canyon, we've got this, the county and the state and cities have done such an exceptional job with trail systems in our cities and here in the Salt Lake County. And I appreciate the discussions we've had with our staff about how we're trying to connect our Bingham trails. I know for those of you that are listening, when we do surveys to our city, one of the top things we hear back from our residents is trails, that we love the walking, the biking, strollers, trails. We all like to get outside. And so I've spent a lot of time on the trails. I'm grateful for this time of year. Additionally, something that was near and dear to my heart, on 9/11, I was able to travel to Sandy City. They have a beautiful healing field. I hope you've all had a chance to go. They put a flag up for every person that lost their life on 9/11. So there's over 2,000 American flags, individual flags, and on every flag is a tag that says the name of the person that is deceased, either at the Pentagon or in the Twin Towers or on the flights, every person. And as I read some of those, many were firefighters and police officers and our safety personnel, which are near and dear to my heart, and many were children and families and women and men that were just innocent. Anyway, it was a powerful thing. If you didn't get to do that, if you've never done that, 9/11 next year, put it in your calendar and go to Sandy City. They have this huge park with over 2,000 flags, and it's really a reverent, amazing experience to go and experience and walk among those flags. So I just wanted to share that with anyone listening and anyone in the room. I think it's awesome for us to, I took my grandson and we sat on the grass and talked about firefighters and police officers and why we love and appreciate the work that they do. So that's my report now.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Mr. Shelton, would you like to go?
I would. Thank you, Mayor. First off, I'm really like the most happy person in the room that you're back.
Mr. Shelton was the mayor pro tem for our last meeting. So
fair. Because I thought I had too much on my calendar already, but I found out that I had no idea. So anyway, thank you for returning and relieving me of that burden. So during the past couple of weeks, I've had a number of events with the Jordan River Commission. I got to speak at their kickoff for the Get to the River Festival, and then I also went and got my tie-dyed shirt. They wanted me to make it, and I persuaded them that that wouldn't be good, and so I can't remember her name. I'm just drawing a blank, but I think she's our arts person.
Tiffany.
It was Tiffany. She made my shirt for me, and it took her like a second, and it is so cool. I mean, it looks like a stream with a frog on the bank. I'm not kidding. It's a tie-dyed shirt that I would actually wear, you know? So anyway, really, really fun. We also had an interesting lecture over at the Gale Museum. The Jordan River Commission did a lecture about some of the history around the river, some of the industrial history around the river, fascinating information. I, as part of my responsibility while you were gone, I had to pick out artwork for the seniors. Judging artwork is like the thing that I really dislike the most on City Council. It's so hard. It is terribly hard. Anyway, there was just some amazing art. It was really hard to choose. And I appreciated Jason being there to present. I've been involved with the Utah League of Cities and Towns Legislative Policy Committee, a couple of different meetings, and then I also attended the Commission on Housing Affordability, the Governor's Commission on Housing Affordability, and I had the opportunity there to make arguments or defend, if you will, the city's rights to do land use and to inspect buildings and approve plans and all those kinds of things. And you know, that may sound kind of mundane to you folks, but if they took those things away, if the legislature took that away, and you know, we are a subdivision of the state government, so they actually can take it away legally. If they took it away, that would mean that you would not have the right to come and tell us that you're worried about a development that's going in close by your home. And so I feel like, you know, in doing those things, I'm not just trying to help the city maintain its authority, but I'm also defending your right to speak about developments that are near your home. And I hope we never lose that. And I'll do my best to let you know if we are, so you can kind of tag team on the legislature. I also attended the water school, and down in southern Utah, and it was an interesting presentation. I learned a lot about how water gets to us, where it comes from, how they pay for it, how they finance all that remarkable infrastructure. And I also learned that South Jordan is doing a really good job on water conservation, probably better than really anybody else. And so if you have an itch to flip your strip, you should do it. So we need to do it. And I'm feeling like I'm going to have to do it in my yard as well. So anyway, I can tell you that our water conservation coordinator here at South Jordan City will help you do it and get all of the rebates that you should get in the process. I've also had occasion to visit with a lot of residents, and I've been interacting with the staff, discussing some of the problems that folks have brought to my attention. And some of these folks here tonight are going to talk about one of those problems, I think. So we'll look forward to hearing about that, and I'll spare you all going through all the others that I've talked with staff about. But just know how much I appreciate your help in helping me to help the residents as I'm interacting with them. Thank you so much. That's my report, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you extra for being Mayor Pro Tem. Yeah, I've never been gone that long, and I sincerely appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, in addition to my my very unique and never-to-be-repeated opportunity to get to go have a trip like that, I was grateful for that. In addition to that, lots of time with Wasatch Front Regional Council. They are the organization that oversees the long-term planning for transit transportation plans and how it intersects with land use and economic development for the entire Wasatch Front region. And it's all local up. It's not dictated down. It's all decisions made at the local levels from all across the Wasatch Front and brought up to create our long-term vision and plans. There's a lot of plans in place, and I chair the Wasatch Front Regional Council. A lot of work there, including our council meeting where we did get our last station area plan for South Jordan City approved. So by the end of December of this year is when the legislative timeline requires that the station area plans around any fixed rail stop, light rail, tracks, front runner, station area plans have to be done, approved, and certified. And it's quite a complicated process. And we still have half of the ones in the state across the region that need to be certified by December, like 45 more still need to be certified by the end of the year. We're only halfway done with those, and all of ours in South Jordan, every station area plan in South Jordan is now done, certified, and we're done. So very happy about that. So thank you to our staff and our team and our council and everybody else who's worked really hard to make sure that we're ahead of that, because it's a big process. So thank you. Have met with several other cities. We had our Council of Mayors meeting and also some public safety meetings and things with other cities. We collaborate quite a bit with a lot of our partnering communities in this area. We work together because cities are built wall to wall now. Nobody realizes when they pull out of one city and pull into another half the time because we're all kind of connected. So there's a lot of things that we work on together. I've done a lot of work on that. Met with the Jordan School District, met with Salt Lake County, with Mayor Wilson, and also with Superintendent Godfrey at Jordan School District. So we have really good relationships with our partners, our partner agencies that represent our community and our residents in different ways. Hosted Orem City, the elected officials and senior staff, including the police chief from Orem City came up. They wanted to take a tour of America First Square and the things that we're working on in partnership with the Larry H. Miller Company in our urban center that we're calling Downtown Daybreak here in South Jordan, and got to show them around what we were doing, and they're looking at some ideas for their city, and they were really nice. It was fun to get to spend quite a bit of time showing them what we've been working so hard on and how great it's turning out. Really appreciated the chance to have Chris and Hannah Bechtel come in. Pastor, thank you for this invocation tonight. And it really just has been a treat. Great to get to visit with them and appreciate the work they're doing in our community and their desire to be involved in the community and taking their leadership on a broad spectrum. Thank you. Treat to get to visit with them. So there's a lot of good work happening, and we'd just like to fill you in a little bit on what we're trying to do. We could spend a year boring you with all of the details of all of the meetings and things that we're working on, but we're really trying to make sure we get things right here and appreciate the chance to represent South Jordan and work on these things. All right, the next item on our agenda, I'm actually going to ask for a motion to make a slight amendment. Because it's a school night and we have lots of young people here, I'd like to see if we can just make a simple amendment to the agenda and move our public comment, which is item E, which is next, to after item G. So we have our two presentation items, our one action item, and then our public comment period right there, so that the kids that are here can get home in time to make it to school on time and, you know, not be tired and be ready. So I'm going to ask if I can get a motion to amend, because looking at the time, I want to be mindful of that, to amend our agenda, just to move public comment, which is item E, to right after item G.
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we amend the agenda accordingly.
Thank you. There's a motion by Mr. Harris. Is
I'll there a second? That.
Thank you. Making notes. Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Harris and a second by Mrs. Johnson. Any discussion to that? All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. We'll make that slight amendment so we can move on to item F1. We have a presentation, and we are really looking forward to this. We've got some special people here tonight. We always have special people. We love having people come, but sometimes it's extra special, and tonight's one of those nights, and we're grateful for that. I'm going to invite our fire chief, Mr. Chris Dawson, Chief Dawson, to come on up, and then we will be making a proclamation of the City of South Jordan in recognition of Sawyer Cole and Copeland Cole. Chief.
Mayor, council members, thank you for giving us a little time this evening to recognize the notable event that occurred in our city earlier this summer. As you may know, September is Emergency Preparedness Month and October is Fire Prevention Month. And during these months, we try to get a variety of applicable messages out to the members of our community, as well as doing some training events and so forth, which includes sending our firefighters out to our local elementary schools to teach about fire safety. And among those things that we try to teach is the importance of having a plan to get out of the home when there is a fire. And we encourage families to practice this, and we refer to it as EDITH drills, which stands for exit drills in the home. And tonight we're here to recognize the Cole family. They're here on the front row, and we appreciate them being with us tonight. But they are an outstanding example of how preparation and presence of mind can make all the difference in an emergency. While I don't know if the Cole family has had formal fire training, it's clear that they have established good practices at home. Because of this, Sawyer and Copeland Cole were able to escape safely when a fire broke out in their home, and Sawyer quickly took steps that ensured that help was on the way as well. I'm gonna stick to my notes here so I don't miss anything. On the morning of Sunday, June 8th, 2025, 10-year-old Sawyer and her 6-year-old brother, Copeland, were upstairs in their rooms while their parents were briefly away running errands. Shortly after 9:30 a.m., a fire started in the family room downstairs. As smoke spread, this home smoke detectors activated, which I should note, they were both present and working, which is great. But they alerted Sawyer, and she went down to investigate and discovered smoke coming from the couch and immediately went upstairs to get Copeland. Children first tried to escape through the front door, but the doorknob wouldn't turn. Their hands were slippery, and they couldn't get enough traction on the doorknob to get it to turn. So while making attempts to get the door open, this situation continued to escalate due to increasing smoke and a growing fire. Since the front door was not opening, Copeland sought out shelter by ducking down into the adjacent mudroom. Realizing that the front door was not an option for escape, Sawyer took Copeland by the hand, saying, "We have to go," and led him directly to a second escape route, the back sliding door. As the kids walked past the fire, a hole in the couch had become visible, the flames were growing, and the smoke was building. Before exiting, Sawyer stopped to gather the family dog. She handed the dog to Copeland and opened the sliding door, where they were able to make a successful escape. Sawyer then closed the sliding door behind them, which is outstanding. A lot of people forget to do that, and it causes the fire to grow at a very rapid pace. But they closed the door. And then after getting Copeland and the family dog to safety, Sawyer ran in to retrieve her phone and in less than a minute exited the house and closed the door again behind her. As the kids made their escape, they ran from the backyard around to the front yard, where they came into view of the front door camera. And at that same time, another camera captured conditions changing on the inside of the house, where they were worsening. And as the smoke darkened and began to bank down, and within a minute of that, it actually went completely black. And so it completely changed inside. And that probably was not a survivable atmosphere at that point. So with her phone in hand, Sawyer called her father to report the fire. Dad instructed the kids to go to the neighbor's house while he called 911. Shortly thereafter, the South Jordan Fire Department was dispatched to respond to extinguish the fire. And due to Sawyer and Copeland's actions, they had escaped and were found safe at the neighbor's home, which from our perspective is the best, right? The best outcome that could have possibly been there. So they did everything right. Tonight, we commend Sawyer and Copeland for their bravery. We especially want to recognize Sawyer's quick thinking in leading her brother to safety, her determination to find a second exit, and her presence of mind to close the sliding door behind them, which slowed the spread of the fire and prevented further damage to their home. These actions exemplify the very lessons we hope to instill in our community, and they turned out what could have been a tragedy into a story of courage and survival. So with that, I'll turn the time back to you, Mayor, for the proclamation.
Thank you, Chief. We are so proud of you. We're going to embarrass you just a little bit. Is that okay? It's because you're amazing and you're such an example, and we really are proud of you. So I'm going to read this proclamation, and then I'm going to ask if the Copeland family will come up front so we can present this to you, and we'll come up. We'd like to take a picture with you because you're a pretty big deal. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Proclamation of the City of South Jordan in recognition of Sawyer Cole and Copeland Cole. Whereas on the morning of Sunday, June 8, 2025, Sawyer and her six-year-old brother Copeland were at home playing in their bedrooms. Their mom and dad had left that morning to run errands and their mom would be back soon. And whereas during that time, a fire started in the family room while the kids were upstairs. The fire grew and the smoke intensified, setting off the smoke detectors. This alerted Sawyer to the problem developing downstairs. And whereas Sawyer made her way to the main level to investigate and found smoke coming from the family room couch, Sawyer quickly returned upstairs, retrieved Copeland, and led him to the front door to get out. And whereas Sawyer and Copeland both attempted to open the front door without success, the chaos of the situation continued to escalate due to increasing presence of smoke. Copeland sought shelter by ducking into the adjacent mudroom. And whereas Sawyer recognized the front door was not an option for escape, she took Copeland by the hand and said, "We have to go." And they stopped to gather the family dog and led them to a second escape route where they were able to make a successful escape. And whereas Sawyer called her dad to report the fire, she was instructed to go to the neighbor's house while he called 911. The South Jordan Fire Department was dispatched to respond to the fire on Jones Ridge Cove. Due to Sawyer and Copeland's actions, they had escaped and were found safe. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, on behalf of the City of South Jordan, do hereby recognize and honor Sawyer and Copeland for their bravery. We recognize their ability to escape what easily may have become a tragedy. We recognize Sawyer for her quick thinking and courage to lead her brother to safety. And it's signed this 16th day of September, 2025, by Mayor Don R. Ramsey in behalf of the entire City of South Jordan City Council. Please join us in congratulating them. Stand up here. We also have this, and we're going to send it with you. You get to keep this. So you get to take this home and keep it. This is a special day because there's nothing we want more than this kind of outcome. Things happen that are unexpected, and you did everything right. So brave, so level-headed, so well done.
We had the fire investigators. They finally released the house. But that was a long 11-week process. However, they told us after their investigation and camera footage and all the things. So Sawyer went back inside to get her phone. She was in there for 30 seconds. And based on camera footage and how the house looked, that they said the main level flashed, whatever, you know, however that means for everybody. I had to learn about it. She had about 18 seconds left inside after she left for the last time. So had she been still inside looking for things or trying to gather all of her nonsense trinkets, she would have never made it back out.
Wow.
So she did good.
I'll say. It's really an honor and privilege to have you guys here with us tonight. And so we want you to smile really nice for all those cameras. Because we're going to...
take about 50 of them. You know, get the smiling faces. Awesome.
Thanks, Dave. Awesome. Okay, again, I mean, we don't usually clap in this chamber, but sometimes we do, and this is an appropriate time to do so. Please join me in congratulating them. Thank you. Amazing team. Congratulations, and we're so glad to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. It's a privilege to get to be part of things when they go so amazingly well. We've spent time with families recently that didn't have a similar outcome, and tragedies happen, and we're just so grateful. Yeah, well done. So proud of you guys. It's awesome. Okay, thank you, Chief. Thanks to everyone who joined us. Appreciate you guys being here for this. All right, item F2, we have another proclamation of the City of South Jordan because it's Constitution Week 2025, and here in South Jordan City, we honor Constitution Week and recognize that each year. I already got teary over the pledge. I'm going to keep it together for the Constitution, but I'm telling you, grateful. I'll read this proclamation, and then we have some friends here. I believe we have some friends here from the Daughters of the American Revolution. So after I read this, we'll come down, and we'd love to give a copy of this to you, if that's okay. All right. Proclamation of the City of South Jordan for Constitution Week 2025. Whereas the Constitution of the United States of America, the guardian of our liberties, embodies the principles of limited government in a republic dedicated to rule by law. It means different when you've been somewhere that this is not a thing for long enough to feel it. And whereas September 17, 2025 marks the 238th anniversary of the framing of the Constitution of the United States of America by the Constitutional Convention, and whereas it is fitting and proper to accord official recognition to this magnificent document and its memorable anniversary, and to the patriotic celebrations which will commemorate it, and whereas Public Law 915 guarantees the issuing of a proclamation each year by the President of the United States of America designating September 17 through September 23rd as Constitution Week. Now, therefore, I, Don R. Ramsey, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the city of South Jordan in the state of Utah, do hereby proclaim the week of September 17th through September 23rd as Constitution Week, and ask our citizens to reaffirm the ideals of the framers of the Constitution. That is correct. I'll read it as it states, but it's a little bit off. To reaffirm the ideals of the framers of the Constitution had in 1787 by vigilantly protecting the freedoms guaranteed to us through this guardian of our liberties. Tomorrow is Constitution Day and it kicks off Constitution Week. And we are grateful for our friends from the Daughters of the American Revolution for being here, for their support, and the way they represent and remind all over. Thank you for being here. We'd love to come down and present this to you, and thank you for all of your work.
We also have a certificate for you. It's a double whammy here. It is a certificate of award to the South Jordan City Council in recognition of outstanding work in upholding and promoting the ideals of the Constitution of the United States, and it's presented by the Spirit of America chapter in South Jordan of the National Society of Daughters of American Revolution. So we can trade.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Okay, Rachel's going to take her picture. Do we need to scoot over?
We're not sighted.
There we go. Balance out the color too. So yeah. Bright
spread my sunshine.
Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Thank you. Appreciate it, and thank you for this. Very kind. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have the privilege of being a reader of the Constitution tomorrow morning at one of our schools. It's kind of a lengthy document, so they break it up into quite a few different readers, but I'm looking forward to being a reader tomorrow morning of the Constitution in honor of Constitution Day. Okay, we have one action item. Like, you guys picked the right agenda tonight to come to. We haven't had an agenda like this in quite some time, so every now and then we get a reprieve from so many things and get to have an evening like this, which is kind of extra special. So item G1 is resolution R2025-51, adopting the Salt Lake County Hazard Mitigation Plan. We appreciate Aaron Sainsbury. He's our emergency and safety manager here at the City of South Jordan. Aaron is here with us and he's going to present this.
Thanks, Mayor and Council. Appreciate the opportunity. As Chief Dawson mentioned, it's National Preparedness Month, September. Part of that is family preparedness. If you were to look on Be Ready Utah's website, it says make a plan, get a kit, be informed, and get involved. And I know that you're all involved, and part of the making a plan is making a plan as to ready our city as well. So the Salt Lake County multi-jurisdictional mitigation plan is in place to help with being a resilient community. Again, I'm Aaron Sainsbury. We're going to talk a little bit about why it's called the Salt Lake County a multi-jurisdictional mitigation plan. I know you've all heard disasters know no boundaries. Well, we train and we work really close with Salt Lake County and 26 other entities in the county to support and build this plan. So why is hazard mitigation? Why does it matter? South Jordan faces many natural and human-caused disasters, such as earthquake, wildfire, severe weather, and other hazards. Our goal is to protect lives, property, and critical infrastructure. Part of that planning builds long-term community resilience, as mentioned. And one thing that you're going to hear multiple times is in order for us to get federal funding, we have to have a hazard mitigation plan in place and approved by FEMA, or Federal Emergency Management Agency. So FEMA approved the plan needed for key funding, such as the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, post and pre hazard mitigation grants, and then High Hazard Potential Dam Rehabilitation Program. But overall, it ensures eligibility for federal disaster funding, as mentioned. So the overview of what we did as part of the county was we had funding that was used from the BRIC grant, and the BRIC is the Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities. It was built on the 2020 plan, so we used the updates that we have from 2020 to 25 and put in that plan as well. But it's organized into two volumes, and you should have received both volumes. The first volume is the countywide hazard profiles, mitigation strategies, and progress review. And the second volume is the jurisdictional plan, which is kind of tailored to South Jordan and what we've got and some of the hazards that we have. The adoption signals countywide leadership and disaster readiness. And part of that planning process and participation was a collaboration with local governments, state and federal partners, private sector and NGOs, and then community stakeholders as well. Workshops were held in 2024, and it was all to ensure buy-in and integration into local plans. So some of the hazards that I wanted to address is the natural hazards that were put in the 2019 or adopted 2020 plan. On top of that were five standalone profiles that were added from 2020 to 2025. And then we also included human caused or technological hazards as well. So the assessment was on each of those hazards, we used historical data. So I know, you know, Dustin started the 2009 plan, and then we had one in 2014, 2019 or 20, and then 2025. Every 5 years, it needs to be updated. Part of that is keeping track of, you know, those hazards and what's happening in the community. So historical data is huge, but it was also risk modeling that helped us come up with that assessment. But we have evaluated the likelihood of high hazards, impact on people, property, infrastructure, services. We reviewed jurisdiction specific vulnerabilities and local participation in the NFIP, the wildfire plans, and the general plans. Those were all helped to establish and build these hazards and part of the assessment. So mitigation strategies, the goal and objective was updated from 2020. We developed with experts, departments, and stakeholders. Some of the mitigation actions were strengthen infrastructure resilience, expand wildfire fuel reduction projects, enhanced public alert and warning, or the IPAWS. I'm sure you've all heard of the IPAWS, which is the integrated public alert and warning system. You'll either hear EAS, the emergency alert system, on television or radio, or you'll hear the WEA system, which is the wireless emergency alerts. And integrated mitigation with land and use planning. So adoption of this plan matters because it demonstrates leadership and commitment to risk reduction. It's necessary, as I mentioned, for state and federal funding. The jurisdiction, we must adopt it within 1 year if we want to continue to get federal funding. But it initiates the final step, which is the submission for the adoption. If you see, it still looks like it's in draft form, that's because the state and federal government, or FEMA, wants to wait until we've submitted an adoption, and 26 other entities have done the same before they approve it. So the benefits of the adoption: it protects residents, property, and critical services, maintains eligibility for federal disaster funding, strengthens resilience across 26 participating entities, and again, it will continue to build on it every 5 years. As Dustin mentioned, when I started emergency management, these documents are fluid. They're constantly changing. Every time there's a disaster or situation, we continue to update and make changes to those plans. Local jurisdiction proceed with adoption. This is kind of our next step. Council adopt the volumes 1 and 2, and then we'll submit that resolution to Salt Lake County, Utah DEM, the Division of Emergency Management, and FEMA. Again, we're going to continue to track some of the hazards that we have, what happens, and some of the mitigation efforts that we have in South Jordan. So if we're barring any questions.
Go ahead. I do have a question.
I was just going to ask, city staff recommends that we adopt the 2025 Salt Lake County Multi-Jurisdiction Hazard Mitigation Plan, Volumes 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, I'll turn it to the council for questions in just a moment. I just am going to ask, I noticed at the start, I went back through the executive summary, and it does say the same thing I thought I read at the start. 23 cities and towns, that I understand, 2 school districts. There are 5 school districts in Salt Lake County. How come only 2 of them sign off on this?
There were 2 that wanted to be involved, and I know what your next question is.
Which
Jordan
2?
School District was one of them, and Canyons, and Canyons
Jordan,
as well.
Jordan's, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure, where Salt Lake, Granite,
and
Murray.
Murray, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure what.
Okay. And also, Salt Lake
on
Community College is on here. University
Salt Lake
of Utah
Community.
Isn't. Do they just have their own completely?
They
They're
do.
Big enough,
they
might
do.
Have their
yep.
own completely.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. That's all I wondered.
And then Westminster has their own as well.
Yes.
I know.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Anybody have any questions for Aaron?
I do have one.
Go ahead.
Mr. Shelton.
Thank you, Mr. Sainsbury. It's quite the impressive book you've written there.
It's pretty good size. Don't get stuck on volume 1 because it's 470 pages.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah,
totally. I started skipping.
We realized that. Yeah.
Appreciated the visuals.
Yeah. Anyway, more serious note, I know that on occasion you've mentioned to me and to other groups, if there were a serious disaster in Salt Lake County, how long does an individual or a family need to be prepared to support themselves before they could expect outside help from the city or the county or other governmental agencies?
So if you remember back a few years ago, we used to promote 72 hours.
Right.
Now we push 96 hours because we know that, it's that would be bare minimum, right? 4 days is, you're not going to see anybody. When I go out and I present, I let people know that we've got 5 ambulances in the city and almost 90,000 residents. How far is that going to go? It depends on the size of the event, right? And you know, there's a few things to consider, but it's 96 hours would be the bare minimum.
And this is based on your study of responses at disasters in other locations. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's kind of a national or nationwide push for 96 hours.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Truthfully, I don't know if any of us read the whole 471-page book. We all started it. I don't know that we read the whole entire thing because we knew you did. We know you know it inside out, upside down, and backwards. We have people here that we know it, experts in this field. So we all read, but I don't think any of us read every word of every page of this whole giant thing. And that's because we have such confidence in our professional staff that we know it inside and out. So thank you. All right, with that, I'm going to turn to the council and ask if there is a motion on resolution R-2025-51 adopting the Salt Lake County Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve resolution R-2025-51.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mrs. Zander. Any additional discussion?
Point of clarification, Mayor. Mr. Sainsbury said we needed to adopt volume 1 and volume 2. Does this resolution accomplish that?
We'll turn to our city attorney to confirm. Is this resolution written as such that it covers both volume 1 and volume 2?
Yes.
That's okay. There we go. That's good clarification. We want to make sure. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Seeing none. I'm going to turn and see if you'll please lead the council in a roll call vote.
Councilman McGuire.
Yes.
Councilwoman Zander.
Yes.
Councilmember Harris.
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson.
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton.
Yes.
Thank you. That passes. Thank you. Thanks for submitting that, making sure we're all in line to be on with where we need. Because truth be told, if we had an emergency that was bigger than the city of South Jordan, if we had an earthquake, if we had something disastrous happen to the whole region, we do want to make sure that we're in line so that federal resources that come out in emergencies like that, heaven forbid, we don't want any of that. But it's nice to know that we're in a good place if something's needed. So thank you. Okay, thank you for your patience as we let those darling kids get home so they could go to bed. We are now going to have our public comment period. Before I open public comment, just some of the rules of engagement, how it works here. It's the time for you to get to talk to us. We're not going to be able to solve everything back and forth right now, but we're going to take what you share with us and make sure that you're connected with the right people and that we have your information that we can, you know, work to resolve some things. So when I open the public comment period, everyone will be entitled to take 3 minutes and you'll be invited to come up to the microphone. Please give us your name and address for the public record. And you can share with us whatever you'd like, something you love, something you hate, whatever you'd like to. If you have ideas, suggestions, we'd love to hear them. One thing that we're very proud of is how we do things here in South Jordan. And we commit to you that this will be civil. We will be respectful of you. And we ask the same in return because we're all here because we love this city. We might have some different ideas about how to solve problems and we'll work through those, but we're all here because we love where we live. So we're proud to have civil dialogue in this chamber. And with that, I will open the public comment period. Anyone who'd like to speak, you're invited to come to the mic and take 3 minutes. And again, please start with your name and address so it's on the public record.
I'm glad you got emotional, and the children made me emotional, so I'm going to do the best that I can tonight. My name is Jennifer Zollinger, and I reside at 3598 West Raffi Place in South Jordan. I hold a current professional educator license in the state of Utah, and I've worked in the early childhood education field for over 25 years. I currently own and operate Seed to Sprout Preschool, which is a licensed home occupation business in South Jordan. The demand for early childhood education in our city is high. I currently have 43 families on my wait list for this school year alone, clearly indicating a need for more placements for preschoolers in our community. Tonight, I'm speaking out not only on my behalf, but also on behalf of a number of other licensed business owners who operate in-home preschools. Together, we are asking the City Council to review and clarify ambiguous language in the Home Occupation Ordinance, Section 5.38.030, as it pertains to the regulation of home-based preschools. The ordinance currently states, preschools for up to 8 students may be conducted as home occupations in accordance with provisions of this chapter with the following and other conditions as determined by the City Council. Maximum 2 sessions per day and maximum 4 sessions per week. It also states days and hours of operation shall be provided for review. In March 2022, before applying for my business license, I contacted the Business Licensing Department for clarification on this section. And their interpretation, based on the intended schedule that I provided for review, was that 2 classes of 8 children each with a combined total of 5 sessions per week would meet the requirement of the ordinance. I have email documentation confirming this interpretation, and my license was approved in September 2022 under those terms. However, recent code enforcement actions suggest a new interpretation, limiting preschools to 4 total sessions per week rather than per class, creating confusion and concern among licensed providers. This code enforcement is also putting at jeopardy access to preschool placements for dozens of South Jordan families. Preschools in our area typically follow the model of 3-year-olds attend 2 days a week and 4-year-olds attend 3 days a week, which many of your own children or grandchildren may have experienced in their preschool years. This is a developmentally appropriate schedule, gradually building children's stamina, social skills, and readiness for kindergarten, which is now full day for most children. A strict 4 sessions per week cap for a preschool as a whole makes it impossible to follow this best practice and meet community demand. We are respectfully requesting that the City Council review and clarify the language in the ordinance, define the number of students per class, sessions per day, and sessions per week per class, and ensure that the ordinance aligns with intended enforcement practices so that providers can confidently comply and families can access quality care. We're grateful for the service that you provide to our community, and we look forward to working together to support high-quality early education in our city. Thank you.
Thank you.
I also have some supporting documents, if I can submit those. And some of the businesses that did receive code violations recently are hoping for a fairly quick review so that they can make a plan going forward for how they might continue serving currently enrolled families. Who should I give this to? Okay.
Thank you. It'll become part of the public record, and thank you for bringing this to us.
Yes, thank you.
We're glad to look into this and try to figure it out. Thank you. All right, is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak?
My name's Dan Beckstrom. I live at 2336 West, 10455 South, South Jordan. I was here a month ago and asked for some accountability to Mr. Luce and the prosecutors and to the police department for some complaints I've made. Slightly awkward because my neighbor is present. Found out after I came that he was here 2 weeks prior and lectured the council and the police department on wasting funds because of response to complaints that I've made in regards to him invading my family's privacy and stalking my family. It's been 4 weeks and I have not heard anything from the police department. I did have a conversation with Mr. Luce 2 days after where I called him and he told me that he had a discussion with the police department about screening these charges. And I have not heard anything. And I was here initially because I felt like there was an apathetic attitude by the city towards enforcing these laws in what my neighbor has subjected to me and my family to, specifically the privacy violation for having cameras that view my secured backyard, and to stalking me by submitting videos and sworn affidavits to the police department monitoring my family's activities. And my family isn't able to just come and go without being monitored, filmed, stalked, surveilled. And when my family has violated ordinance, we have received citations. But here we have violations of criminal code that have not been enforced. And I came asking for help. And now it's 4 more weeks and nothing. My family doesn't deserve to deal with this any longer. Coincidentally, after telling you guys about this waste of resources, in 3 years, he's called a dozen times, and he was upset that in 8 years, I'd called 6 times. And that's just the police department. That doesn't count zoning, code enforcement, and whatever other reports and calls that he has made. The health department showed up at my house today, finding another unsubstantiated claim that he has made against my family. My wife is working graveyards right now, and so she was interrupted in her sleep schedule to show the health department around my yard, which he shouldn't know what is going on in my yard, but he's violating our privacy with his cameras and observing what's going on in my yard and then sending the police department or the health department to our house. And even today, he's installed another camera. I'm not going to go over my 3 minutes, and I'm not going to get into the nitpickies of the back and forth beyond what I've laid out. Just trying to help you guys understand, this neighbor thing has gone so far. The city has the tools with the statute to please stop it. And don't let me go 4 weeks without hearing from somebody. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the public comment period. And thank all of you who are here. Thank you for everything you've shared. We'll have to talk to you offline after this because there's a lot that is not in our control. And we'd have to even find out if any of it is actually within our control, Mr. Beckstrom. So we'll have some conversations, we'll find out. And we will also look into the preschool statute. I actually appreciate that you cited the exact code on my pass. That's good. That's good. And I appreciate that. So, yeah, we'll look into that. Thank you for that. Okay, I'm going to turn to our city manager, Mr. Lewis, and see if we have any staff reports or calendaring items.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say how jealous I am that Aaron got to work on the multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan. I may be old, but I remember working on that back in the 90s before the DMA 2000, the Disaster Mitigation Act, came out. And this is one of the first cycles that I didn't get to work on it at all, so I'm kind of jealous. I have one item for you tonight that I want to make sure is on your calendars. The South Valley Chamber of Commerce Titan Awards has been scheduled for October 29th. And I will need to know from you your availability to be committed that evening to attend that event. So you can get with me after the meeting or shoot me an email. But that will be October 29th at 6 p.m. So please let me know if you're available for that. I didn't receive any other items from the staff, so I will turn it back to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Shelton.
Mayor, I would like to just make sure that staff is directed to explore the preschool ordinance and see if we can figure out what is needed to make these preschools function properly and be able to educate our children and grandchildren properly. Maybe we can call off the dogs a little bit, or they're not dogs. I know they're not dogs. That's the wrong word.
Restate that.
Yes, I will restate that. Maybe we can ask the code compliance people to stay their hand a little bit until we have reviewed this ordinance. So,
I don't even know what code compliance has found or what that is. So we have a lot of information to get. We'll find out. We'll dig into all of it and find out. And then, yes, agreed, if we can direct staff to look into that and help bring us the options so we better understand.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is you would like us to stay any enforcement action and bring this back. Would you like me to schedule it at the next available work session as a topic? We can dive in and research this, find out all the bits and pieces, prepare a discussion, let you have some discussion, and give further direction at that time.
Yes.
Sounds great.
All right. I will find the next available slot and put it on a work session.
It's not guaranteed that'll be in 2 weeks because this is the lightest agenda we've ever had. So we usually have pretty full agendas and our work meetings are pretty full, but the soonest available opportunity to put it on there for us to
I will look you. Right now and see when
okay.
that could be.
Thank you. Okay, anything else? All right. If not, I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
It is 7:44 and we are adjourned.